conversation with my colleague Mary Kissel, Executive Vice President Stevens Incorporated, former senior advisor to the Secretary of State. Mary, the coup in Niger, followed by the coup in Gabon, following the coup in Burkina Faso, following the coup in Mali. That's enough. Francophone coups are suggestive that there is a policy change underway. ECOWAS, the economic unit of West Africa, so far has threatened intervention but has not acted. Macron was not separated from all of this. He's been making many visits as the president of France to Francophone Africa. The U.S. in West Africa, let's limit here to the Sahel. We have, we're told, a drone base, an intelligence gathering base in Niamey, the capital of Niger. Victoria Nuland, we were told, rushed to Niamey right after the coup and was rebuffed by the coup masters. What is the Biden administration, the approach to this part of Africa right now?
I don't think they have one, John. And that's why you saw Victoria Nuland rush to Niger. In some of these regions, though, we should say clearly that France has been the dominant power, not just, of course, in West Africa, but also in Central Africa. And so you've seen not just one, not just two, but six former French colonies experience a coup d'etat just over the past 3 years. I think in some respect, we outsourced the strategy to Paris, and that failed. And that has implications for the people who live in these nations under military rule. It has implications for countries that aspire to have influence there, be it China or Russia. It has implications for the threat from jihadists in places like Burkina Faso or Mali or Niger, where we have seen those threats multiply in recent years. And it highlights once again the weakness of the democratic institutions in Africa, the corruption, the lack of regional institutions, although, of course, I'm always suspicious of those. They never really have all that much influence. But it raises a big question about what should U.S. national security goals be in Africa? What do we really care about there? Do we need to come up with a strategy in concert with our friends and allies in places like Paris and London? Do they have the bandwidth to do that, even in the White House, given the Ukraine war and the rising threat from China and Iran? Lots of questions, John, and not a lot of answers.
We have rumors that Moscow opportunistically is dialing in their opposite numbers somewhere in all of these countries. That wasn't a story when you were at state. Is that reason enough for state to get a policy suddenly?
Well, Russia was present in Libya and other places through the Wagner Group when we were in office. And of course, we were always tracking that, although DOD, I think, had more of a focus on it than Foggy Bottom did. The question is, you know, what does Moscow want out of these relationships? And often it's just corruption and money. I'm not sure that they have the bandwidth to put their people in place to have real political influence, but they don't really need to, because if all they really want is to extract the resources and trade in weapons and gold and the like, then they may be very happy with these coup leaders and they may not need to do very much else at all. But again, you know, the people who suffer the most are those who are living under this rule. Although it has to be said, you know, we started off in Gabon. I mean, here's a nation that's had, what, three leaders from the same family since the late 1960s? I mean, these aren't really paragons of democracy. These are corrupt societies where there isn't a lot of upward mobility, where the wealth is concentrated in the hands of a few. And it's just sad to see, you know, places that were liberated from colonial rule really sinking to these depths, because it's the people who live there that suffer.
Mary Kissel, I'm John Batch.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor,